Peace be with you. My name is Father Frank Skelly. I'm a Redemptorist priest, and I'm speaking to you from Immaculate Conception Church in the South Bronx. Our reflection today will be for the Saturday of the second week of Easter. The reading will be from the Gospel according to John. When it was evening, the disciples of Jesus went down to the sea, embarked in a boat, and went across the sea to Capernaum. It had already grown dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea was stirred up because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they began to be afraid. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." They wanted to take him into the boat, but the boat immediately arrived at the shore to which they were heading. The Gospel of the Lord. A man went to a psychiatrist and said he was having a persistent dream. For 4 nights in a row, he had the exact same dream. There was a door, and beyond the door was all he ever wanted in life. He pushed and pushed, and the door would not budge. The psychiatrist suggested that he should step back in his dream next time and see if he saw anything else. That night he had the dream again, and this time he stepped back. He saw a sign that said, "Pull." All along he was pushing on a door that said, "Pull," going in the wrong direction, but sure that he was right. So often this was the case with the apostles, and maybe with ourselves. All their rowing in this storm got them nowhere. But all of a sudden, with the presence of Jesus, they got where they wanted to go. The apostles were a headstrong group, James and John wanting to be leaders and bring down lightning on those not willing to accept Jesus. Peter telling Jesus it was not a good idea to talk about suffering. Philip telling Jesus it would be a good idea to show them the Father. Thomas telling Jesus he needed more clarity about what the future looked like. They each thought they knew the best direction to go. Letting someone else direct you takes great humility. Jesus tells Peter in the Gospel of John, he will be taken where he does not want to go. To be a follower of Jesus Christ demands great humility, the ability to realize that we cannot do it on our own. Peter, the great fisherman, never caught a great number of fish without listening to Jesus, the carpenter. Where in my life do I insist on doing it my way? Living a Christian life can be exhausting if I think I can do it all by myself. The first 3 steps of the 12-step program of Alcoholics Anonymous are, I can't control my drinking, God can control it, I think I'll let him. That takes great humility. We tend to think if I work hard enough, I'll be successful in whatever it is that will give me peace. The letter to the Romans is quite clear on this point. But I see another law at work in my body, warring against the law of my mind, and holding me captive to the law of sin that dwells within me. What a wretched person I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I serve the law of God, but with my flesh, I serve the law of sin. This is the situation of all of us. 2 stories about humility. A woman approached a wise leader and asked, "How long will it take me to learn to pray?" The leader said, 5 years. "That's too long," she said. "How long if I work really hard?" "Oh, then it will take 20 years. St. Therese of Lisieux lived in the late 1800s, and there was a popular spirituality using a ladder as a model. People could measure how close they were to God by judging how high they were on the ladder. Therese was sickly and had difficulty with the convent prayers. She was asked where she was on the ladder towards God. She replied that she wasn't even on the ladder because her God at an elevator. That kind of dependence on God demands great humility. Lord, the next time I'm rowing through a storm, Help me to reach out my hand to you.